Welcome to Straight and Curly,
a podcast for self-improvement junkies.
I'm Kelly Exeter.
And I'm Carly Jacobs.
This is episode 69.
Hello and welcome to Straight and Curly. Today we are going to be talking about decisiveness and how to be more decisive. So Kelly, do you think you are decisive?
I am actually kind of to the point where it freaks people out because I'm an overthinker in so many other aspects of my life. But with regard to decision making, like I do make them very, very quickly. Decisiveness is actually an INFJ trait. So I don't know why that is. I don't know what drives it. But I know that I seem to be able to quickly process, you know, the options at hand. And then I think it's more I just refuse to waste energy agonizing over things that don't warrant that energy. And I think that's more the driver of it than anything else. I just can't stand wasting time. So, and I know that agonizing to me, like we're sitting down watching people agonize over a decision, like I'm just like, oh my God, you've got to be kidding. Like you're deciding between two flavors of ice cream. It's not life-changing stuff here. Just choose one. And the other thing that I do with decisions is I actually never look back and go, oh, I wish I didn't decide to do that. Like I make my decision. I make it with the information I have at the time. And then I just move forward. And I never, ever spend time wishing like I wish I knew this before I made that decision. Like there's no point wishing that. Like you make the decision with the stuff you have got in front of you at the time, and then you go. So yeah. So what about you, Carls?
Well, unsurprisingly, I'm exactly the same. I'm super decisive.
So maybe it's a J thing. I wonder if it's just...
I don't know. Yeah, because I have a J, don't I?
Yeah, yeah. That is the only thing you share with me is the J. So
is the J, the judging one. Funny, but yeah, it bothers me quite immensely watching people agonize over decisions. And I mean, Ben's actually very good, but I'm just super decisive. So if he takes longer than like 4 seconds to make a decision, I'll just be like, can you just hurry up? I'm going to kill you. You need to just make a decision. But my issue is that he always consults me and I don't care. I don't care. Like we'll go shopping for dinner and he'll be like, should we get beef or pork sausages? And I'll be like, I don't mind. It's entirely up to you.
Either
one.
And
then he'll be like, but do you want beef or do you want pork? And I'll go, I don't know, pork. And then he'll go, I don't know. I was thinking beef. I don't care. I don't care. Just pick one. I actually don't care. Just get it and let's go.
That's the worst. That's actually so wrong when people say to you, what do you think? Then you tell them and they're like, oh, I don't know. It's like, don't ask me if you don't want to know. Like
exactly. And Ben's really funny about where we sit in restaurants and cafes. So we'll walk into a cafe and he'll be like, where do you want to sit? And I'll be like, I don't
care. I'm not the one that cares about these things, honey.
I don't care about anything. I actually have no opinions about anything ever, unless the stuff that we talked about in the last episode. I have opinions about that. But day-to-day stuff, I don't care. And then he'll be like, oh, okay, well, let's go sit at that table over there. And I'll be like, cool. So we'll go over and then he'll be like, oh, I don't know, like the sun's shining in this direction. And I'm like, okay, fine. Let's go sit over at this one. And then he'll be like, well, which seat do you want to sit in? I'm like, I just do things and stop talking about it. And he's not even that bad. I'm just very intolerant. So
Well, I'm intolerant because Ant is a questioner. So like for little things, like he's very like, yeah, whatever. Like we're both very like, it doesn't matter. We'll just choose one. But for big things, I will research to a certain point, but then I will go with my gut once the research is done and I'll stand strong on that decision. Whereas he's like, no, it's all about the research. And then he goes back and forth and he takes a really long time to make the decision. Like, and I just kind of want to kill
him. Your favorite thing.
Oh, and it was just like when we were choosing who was going to build the house, like we actually hired somebody to find us someone to build the house for us. They found someone. Ant didn't like only having one person to choose from. So he then went and did all his own research. And he went and got quotes for himself, which really pissed off our building broker just quietly. And then I had to do a bit of like fancy conflict management, which I really love. And then what happened is where we went with the person that the building broker chose for us. And it took like the whole process took 3 months and I wanted to kill him. So yeah, the message is if you guys are ever out with me and Carly, and you're going to like agonize over something, you need to go do it somewhere else.
I actually think just life skills for anyone who wants to hang out with Kelly and I, if you're going out for lunch with us, and you take a long time to decide what you're going to have for lunch, Google the menu and decide on your own time, yeah. I think is probably a really...
Otherwise, we'll decide for you and you may not like yeah. what we decide.
But that's, but also like, I think this has actually come up a few times in the group, how not into food we are. And people are just so fascinated by it because it's such a foodie thing. And I've got friends that will spend half an hour deciding what to order. And then they eat it and it's not quite what they thought it was going to be. And so they like to discuss that for quite a while. And then like 2 days later, they'll be like, I just really wish I ordered that other thing. I'm like, why are you still thinking about this? Why are you still thinking about this? Like, I can't even remember what I ate for breakfast. It's just, I think, yeah, we're just not into the food.
And
it's
actually, I've written about this before with regards to decision making. So what it is people get caught up in decisions. They get caught up in like, should I, shouldn't I, because they are desperately trying to avoid regret.
Yeah.
And so like my number one tip for you in being more decisive is you have to stop trying to avoid regret. It happens. Like we all make bad decisions. We all, you know, figure out like, you know, it's like that whole thing where you go, I always get this one thing, but I'm going to get this thing today just to be different. And then you get that thing and you go, damn it, why did I get the thing that, you know, I wasn't sure what it was going to be about? But you know what? You regret it and then you don't do it again. Regret's great. So yeah, stop trying to avoid regret. That's that thing just by itself will help you be more decisive. You know, chalk things up to experience.
Well, that brings me to my first point as well, which is spending your decision allowance on things that matter. But this also includes the regret thing, is that you can also measure your regret. So regretting lunch, who cares? Yeah. Like regretting buying a house, that's a big regret. So therefore you spend a lot of time making a decision on buying a house. Don't spend any time making a decision on lunch. There's a scale of importance of decisions and lunch isn't one of them.
Yeah.
It's important.
Fully agree. And yeah, so that kind of ties with what my first one, like that regret one was kind of like a bonus tip. My first tip is to don't negotiate with yourself over stupid things. Like, so as much as possible, I like routine and habit to take care of as many decisions for me as possible. So in the morning, I don't debate with myself whether I'm going to get out of bed now or whether I'm going to get out of bed in an hour. Like I just get out of bed at the time my alarm goes off. So those people
at 4:15, yeah, 4:15.
Yes, I know, but I go to bed at 8:30. Yeah. So anything like, and I don't debate with myself whether I'm going to write this morning or whether I'm going to write tomorrow morning. And I don't debate with myself whether, yeah, I'll do CrossFit today or I'll do CrossFit tomorrow. I do CrossFit on Mondays and Thursdays. All the other days I go for a run or a walk. There's no debating. There's no negotiating because, yeah, as soon as you start negotiating with yourself, you're screwed. So, yeah, that's kind of like a real big thing for me is every decision that we make over the course of a day makes it harder to make the next decision. So remove as much of that decision-making as you can using routine and habit.
So my number two is to use the information you have available to make a decision. So for instance, if you get offered two different jobs, one is always going to be better than the other, always. At first, they might not appear like they're that different, but if you break it down, you'll find a shorter commute or possibilities of permanency or more money. There's always a hidden good thing about one of the jobs that will get you over the line, and just go for the one that's better, because there might be one that it might sound more fun to tell people about it, but you're actually going to have to work at this job and be there every day.
Yeah.
And having a job that sounds cool to other people isn't actually a perk of the job. So make sure that you're using the proper information that you have to fuel your decision. The same thing applies to if you're going to see a movie. So the internet is a marvelous thing, and you can just look up its Rotten Tomatoes rating. If you haven't heard of Rotten Tomatoes, it's pretty much the only place you need to go to figure out if a movie's worth seeing or not. And if you're picking between two movies, choose the one that has the high rating. Boom, done. There's no point in agonizing over things when you have so much information available to you at all times. Another thing that works really well is outsourcing decisions. So you've got, even if you're not like, because I do this constantly on Smaggle and it's great. I tried on a dress in Indonesia and I was like, and it was like that is it called batik or batik?
Batik,
yeah. Batik print. And I was like, oh, wow. And I tried it on, took a photo and I was like, am I going to buy this and never wear it again. And everyone was like,
yes.
Because it wasn't my style.
It wasn't you. It wasn't you.
Not at all. But when I go to Bali, I do that thing where everyone decides they're really a hippie at heart and they're like, can I just get lots of silver jewelry with some turquoise stones in it?
And lots of heat, you know, lots of very flowy stuff, you know. Flowy stuff looks so comfy.
Yeah, it really does. But, I'm not a hippie. That's boho is not my style. So I didn't end up buying the dress. But I used the information that I had available to make a decision. And even though the dress was really cute and, you know, it was quite long and it looked like, you know, I was a wife of an advertising exec in the 70s in New York. So it looked quite good, but it wasn't my style and I wouldn't have worn it. So I was like, boom, decision made. And I put my decision in the hands of my readers. But this works even on just personal Facebook pages.
Yeah.
Just pop a picture up of two things and people love giving their opinion on stuff. They love it.
And here's the thing, like, don't ask for people's opinion if you don't want it. Because that's another thing. Like, you know, quite often people will say, well, what do you think about this? And then you'll tell them.
How defensive you were when you said that. You're like, don't ask my opinion if you don't want it. Good.
Can you tell that I've got people in my life who do this all the time? And I kind of got to the point. Like, my mum does it a lot, actually. Because my mum will ask me and I'll tell her what I think. She'll go, no, I'm not going to do that. And it's like, why did you ask me? So don't do that to me. But don't do it to other people. Like, yeah, if you're going to ask people their opinion, like, be willing to honour it. If you're only wanting them to support what you already think, then go with what you already think. That's kind of my take on the matter. Okay, I do have issues about this. So, yes, that's colouring the way that I'm approaching it. My second tip is to stop trying to extract maximum happiness out of every decision. Like, this is something that humans do. We try and weigh things up to the nth degree. And like, you know, if something's going to give us like 97% happiness and then another thing's going to give us 98% happiness, we're trying to figure out which the 98 is. And it's kind of like, oh my goodness, like both these things are going to make you a similar level of happiness. You can actually choose either one. And this is actually quite often when we're agonizing about something, we're actually agonizing between two quite amazing options. Like, it might be, you might have two job offers and they're both amazing and you don't know which one to take. Take either one. They're both amazing. And, you know, stop trying to look into the future and figure out which one is going to give you a tiny percent more happiness than the other. They're going to both make you happy and they're both going to make you unhappy. Like, this is the other thing. Like, we think that making certain decisions, like down that path is all rainbows and unicorns, and down that path is like dark clouds and lightning. Like, there's both, down both paths. Like, both paths might be equally windy to get us where we're going, but they'll probably both get us there in the end, because that's how we're built. Like, humans are built to get themselves where they need to go. One path might have more detours, but one path might have more mountains. You know, the challenges are going to be different, but there will be challenges in both directions. So don't try to avoid challenges. Don't try to avoid regret. Don't try to extract maximum happiness out of your decision. Just make a decision, especially like your gut will be telling you to go one way. Just go with your gut. Your gut knows what it's on about.
I loved that one. That's so true. I think that's the problem is that, yeah, people are just trying to pick the thing, the magical thing, and there is no magical thing.
There is none. Trust me on this.
We are so upholdery. We're like, just pick a thing and get on with it.
The thing is, like, I've written about decision making a lot in books and on my blog, and I've done a lot of research about it. So, like, yeah, I am 100% sure in all these things that I'm telling you.
Yep. We'd be such shit therapists. We'd be like,
yes.
Your emotions are irrelevant. Just get on with it. Speaking of emotions, my third one is don't let your desires get in the way of making a good decision. So basically, I want hot chips. I want them all the time. They are delicious. And now that it is winter and I live in Melbourne, God, all I want to do is go to one of the 20 pubs within walking distance of my house and neck a bottle of wine and have those delicious, like, hot, salty pub chips.
Oh, my God, I'm so hungry right now.
I never, ever order chips, ever. I just don't do that because they have zero nutritional value. And that's so to me, that's not a decision. So if I go, every single food choice I make that I have control of, I choose the healthiest thing. So I don't end up eating chips twice in one day.
Yeah.
So if I have chips at the pub in the afternoon and I meet a friend for dinner and they've cooked me hot chips, or like some sort of delicious potato on the side of an amazing meat thing, I don't want to have to not eat that because I already
had chips today.
I already had my chip quota for the day. So that's the thing. I always aim to make the best choice, not a desire-led choice. So it's the same with clothes. So sometimes people make poor clothing choices when they go shopping for clothes because they'll, you know, buy a particular cut of jeans because they saw it on Pinterest or something and this girl looked amazing in them. And then you'll try those jeans on and they don't look quite right, but you still had this desire in your head for this particular thing and you had this package of what this thing that you wanted was going to look like. And you kind of lie to yourself a little bit that that's the best choice when it's actually not. It's a desire-led choice.
That's it. And it's also a bit like when you go shopping and you're feeling a little bit flabby that day. What do you do? Like, what do? I buy like big loose fitting clothes, which flat out do not look good on me at any time. Never. Like Luce and Kelly, like I look like, I just look like a potato sack. And that's, I know this, but when I am feeling like, you know, a bit bigger than normal or a bit like hormonal, I'll be like, oh, that looks so comfortable. I'll buy it. And then I get home and go, what are you doing? Like, you know, this doesn't look good on you. So yeah, I agree with you. Don't make emotion-led decisions if you can. That's the difference to a gut-led decision. Like, you know, if your gut is telling you something very, very strongly, I do really believe in going with your gut. But that's different to being, you know, overly emotional and like, you know, I just had a fight with my friend and so I need to go buy something. And it probably needs to be a giant bucket of hot chips. You know, we don't make good decisions like that when we're emotional.
Kelly and I are making it sound like we're no fun and you can't ever pick to do a nice thing. You absolutely can. Just for everyday decisions, just figure out whether or not you're making the I want choice rather than the I need choice.
Yeah. And actually on that note, that's a really good point because I think that if you generally speaking make the, like, you know, the sensible decision that you know you should make, like pretty much in a lot of these everyday decisions, there's something you should do and there's something that you want to do. Go with the thing that you know you should do, even though I hate the word should, but go with the thing that you know you should do so that on those occasions where you're like, I just don't care. I just had a big fight with my partner and I want to bury my face in this tub of ice cream. Like own it. Like I never ever do this. And I'm damn well going to do it today because I want to. And, yeah, don't bring into things like I deserve this or anything like that. Just go, I'm doing this because I flat out want to and I don't do it all the time.
Yeah.
So my third thing is from one of my favorite books, which is Predictably Irrational.
I love that book.
He's good. So I never know how to say his name. Dan Ariely. Yeah, Dan Ariely. So here's one of his things in is you're more likely to make a good decision if you take that outside perspective. And all that means is he says, if I had to give advice over, you know, across many aspects of life, I would ask people to take what's called the outside perspective. And that is, what would you do if you made the recommendation for another person? And he says, I find that often when we're recommending something to another person, we don't think about our current state and we don't think about our current emotions and we don't think about everything that's gone before. Like we think about things a bit more distantly from the decision. And we often make a better decision because of that. And I think that's such a good way to go about it is just going, okay, if I were my friend, what would I tell my friend to do? Do that. And I think, yeah, that does kind of take a lot of the irrational, you know, oh, I always do this thing or I never do this thing or I should do this thing. Like it's just like, forget about all that. What would you tell your friend to do? Okay, now do that.
I've done this quite a few times if I've been like at the pub with a girlfriend and they've been agonizing over a decision they've been agonizing over for ages and I've given them the same advice 10 times, I will ask a stranger next to us if I've had enough wine. I'll be like, hey, can you just come here for a sec? And I'll be like, hey, can you tell this person this story and get them to make the decision for you? It's really good. And it's also been really good for me as well because I'm not backwards in coming forwards about things that I think people should do or things I believe in. And sometimes I've been shut down. There's been an outside perspective because even if you're giving advice to a friend, you're often too close to the situation to do it. So when you get a completely fresh view and fresh eyes on it, it's been awesome for both parties. Do that often. And people love it. Love it so much. They're like, you want my opinion on a thing? And they're like, sweet. And they go and get their drink and they come and sit down and they're right into it. I've done it a few times. It's rad. Do it often.
It's like a little pub game. It sounds fun. I'll do it the next time. Don't ever go to pubs, but I'll do it the next time.
The next time you're hanging out at the pub, Kelly.
I'll be hanging out on the weekend, actually, for Ant's birthday. So. For a surprise party that he doesn't know about yet. I'm already planning to see, do I have to stay for the whole thing or can I get an Uber home early?
I love how defiant you were just then. You're like, I'm going to a pub. I'm going to go to a pub.
And I'm going to do this thing. All right. So what's your final tip on how to be more decisive?
My final tip is to make decisions quickly. So the amount of time you spend making a decision is actually irrelevant. And there's been heaps of research showing that the more time you spend making a decision, the more likely you are to include incorrect information in your decision-making process because you'll second guess the information you've already decided is fact. You'll second guess things that you've already gone through in your head and you'll change your mind. This is very questioner style behavior. They'll go back over things again and again and again.
Yeah. I mean, the data is sound on that. Like taking a longer time to make a decision does not lead to a better decision. So if you're an indecisive person, actually read Blink by Malcolm Gladwell. That will cure you of a lot of the agonizing that you do. In it, he kind of posits that the first thing that comes to mind is usually the best decision. Not always true. And I do find Malcolm Gladwell, and I can't believe I'm about to call out Malcolm Gladwell, but I do find he tends to just back up his thoughts with the research that he can find and not present a more balanced view. But it is an interesting read, Blink. It does talk a lot about, the gut checks and he does have a lot of data to support that.
Also, making decisions quickly gives you so much freedom. I've made a decision in the last couple of days that, like, it's kind of big, but not really that big. I'm being so elusive right now. It's not really very exciting, I promise. But I was like, oh, okay, yeah, no, I'm going to do this thing. And I decided that I'm going to do it. And I just have so much freedom now. Like, I'm not going to actually activate this decision for probably a month, but now that I know that I'm going to do it in a month, I'm not bothered by it. And it bothered me for 48 hours going, am I going to do this thing or am I not going to do this thing? And then the second I decided that I was going to do it, I'm like, oh, this is great. And I even have a time frame in which to do it. So I'm not going to spend the next month because this decision is time sensitive. So in a month, I have to do one or another. I'm not going to spend the entire month thinking about whether or not I'm going to do it. I've already decided whether or not I'm going to do it. And now I just know that in a month, that's my action.
Oh, that's awesome. And it is. It's so freeing and it just lifts. And if you make a decision and a weight lifts off your shoulder, that's a pretty good sign. And then I've just got like a little study here for my fourth tip where they say practice mindfulness before you yawn and go get out. Just know. So it was a 2013 study from the Wharton School of Business and they found that 15 minutes of mindfulness meditation can help people make smarter choices. So the researchers found that a brief period of mindfulness allowed people to make more rational decisions by considering the information available in the present moment, which actually led to, more positive outcomes in the future. And the reason is that they found that the mindfulness helped counteract like all our deep-rooted tendencies and led to a better, decision-making because of that. And also their theory was that using mindfulness also gives various regions of your striatum and your prefrontal cortex time to relay the true neuroeconomic costs of a decision and help you make smarter choices.
Oh, wow.
All that it's quite interesting. I'll link to the article, but it was, a lot of big words there, but, doing a mindfulness meditation, what it does is it helps derail like compulsive or addictive patterns of behavior and it generally will take you down a path that's in the best interest, for your long-term health and happiness and overall well-being. So I thought that was really interesting.
That might just get me into meditation. I would need a much more practical, what do you call it? Oh my God, reason? Where is my brain? No. Like a
application?
Like a consequence, but a good thing.
Yeah. it'll be interesting to see in the future, there's a particular decision that is, you're getting a bit caught up in. And then if you go, I'm just going to, throw on the insight timer for 15 minutes.
benefit.
And just, yeah, benefit is the word. So I thought if I just keep talking, Carly will think of the word that she's trying to think of.
Yeah, I am sharp today, guys. I am so on it. I'm like, what's the opposite of consequence? And it's good. It's a benefit, guys. So
cool. And also just on the topic of decision making, just to finish up, one of my most recent posts, and I did actually share it in the Straight and Curly group on Facebook, was called 4 Rules for Making Decisions You Can Stick With. So yeah, just look up that on Google and you will find it. And yeah, it just kind of takes you through a bit more of the research around decision making. And I guess the most important part of that research is the fact that humans are actually, we are hardwired to make the best of any situation, you know, no matter how, you know, where we end up. So if we're able to kind of let go of regret and let go of agonizing and just keep moving forward in a, like, you know, in an action-oriented way, you know, pretty much, you know, any decision, unless it leads to, you know, like the death of a loved one or something, we can make the best of anything that we choose to do. So especially all those tiny little things that you're getting caught up with on a day-to-day, don't waste time on them. Just make the decision and then just move forward and move with the consequences of it. Thank you so much for listening to Straight and Curly. This week's show notes and links will be available at straightandcurly.com. We also have an incredible Facebook group full of fellow self-improvement junkies. So if that's you too, come join us at facebook.com/groups/straightandcurly.
And if you have any questions or weird self-improvement hacks you want us to trial, you can tweet us at Kelly Exeter or at Smaggle, or you can email us at hello@straightandcurly.com.
Jackrabbit FM.
For your ears.
Who is that? Hi, Puck Pass.